Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Catching Up with Simo and Shep. He's Craig Monroe. I'm Matt Shepard. Coming up, the first half analysis of what the Tigers did, including the freak out of a four-game losing streak to hit the break. We can't stand the home run derby. At least I can't stand the home run derby.
We'll get into that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. And the best sequels in the movie brought to you by, of course, the Palladium and, of course, Imagine Theater. It's all coming up on Catching Up with Simo and Shep right after this. Hey, hope you had a really good weekend. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media channels. Send in some questions. We're happy to answer them if we can. And give us your best or our best opportunities to try and figure out what you might be talking about, what you want answered. How was your weekend, my friend?
Weekend was pretty good. Didn't do much, so it was great.
Sometimes those lazy weekends are the best.
Yeah, you know what? I did this week, though. I did catch a baseball game. Caught a Tiger game. They won. Wouldn't believe it was 4-2.
They didn't win. What are you talking about? They lost. They lost four straight.
No, I caught the last game. I went on Tuesday.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant the weekend.
I told you I did nothing this weekend.
All right, because they got outscored 35-14. That we're
I know, and you know everybody's panicking. There's no reason to panic. Listen, this team has played great.
Yeah,
that was bound to happen. They're bound to go through a little bit of some low times, and they'll get ready for the second half, though.
Yeah, we'll get into that. I went to a wedding on Saturday. It was fantastic.
What'd you wear? What color, at least?
It was black tie optional. Okay. So I went with a black suit, a crisp white shirt, and a color tie, a black and purple colored tie with a purple hanky. You and I like hankies.
You know that.
not everybody was black tie, which is fine. No. Some people didn't even wear a sports coat. Others didn't wear a tie. What's your take on it?
I don't like it at all. If you're going to go to a wedding, I feel like you got to dress to par.
I would think so, but you're a big, I mean, you like your clothes.
Yeah,
I like
clothes. Yeah, I'm going to be flashy with my clothes. Like, you don't want to outdo the bride and groom. Right. So, I mean.
You can always take the tie off at the reception, right? When you start dancing, if you do start dancing.
Tell me you're not dancing.
We did some slow dancing. Okay. That's about it.
All right. You two-stepped?
We did two-step, yeah, okay. For just a little bit. But I was a little surprised at that. And then a friend of mine came up to me and he said, hey, his daughter's getting married. It's a destination wedding.
Uh-oh.
What do you think about destination weddings?
I mean, are they going to pay for it? Are they paying for my flight and my hotel?
No.
Then I want no parts of it. I mean, think about that, though.
Does it depend on where the destination is? Like, let me ask you this. What if it's up north? What if it's in Traverse City?
Then I'll jump in the car, pack it up, and I'd take that drive, and I'd enjoy the ride.
Pay for the hotel.
It's a beautiful sight up there. Yeah, beautiful up there.
Pay for the hotel. No problem. If it's in another state that is drivable, how do you feel about that?
I'm driving. Okay. I don't have no problem with that.
It's the flight, right, is what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a flight, and how long is a flight? Okay.
So this wedding is going to take place in Ireland. And my buddy comes up to me and says, are you not coming to the wedding? And I said, we are not going to the wedding. He says, you're not coming to Ireland?
I mean, you've got big money. Though. I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah, right. I got big money. maybe you used to, not any longer. And then he says, you can go and play golf. And I said, dude, I am carrying clubs. It's going to cost you a little bit of money.
Yes.
It's not like it's a charter flight with the Tigers. And if you're going for a wedding, are you taking your entire week's vacation or an entire week of vacation to spend it going to somebody else's wedding? I suppose you could. You could spend 4 days in Ireland, but
But no, I think that's a little much for me.
Yeah,
don't you? Are you thinking about it?
I'm quite honestly, it was an easy
that was
no.
An easy
for me.
No.
So my question to them immediately was, well, are your mom and dad going? Because they're up in age.
Yeah.
He said no, and I said, well, isn't that this is supposed to be about an experience, right? Why would you not have your mom and dad, her grandparents there? Neither side of the grandparents are going. So you've really kind of limited your scope of people.
Well, there's going to be a lot of special people that miss it.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't understand that one.
Yeah. That to me is a little odd. So, if anybody, how do you feel about destination weddings? We have gone to one. It was in Colorado. Beautiful setting, set us back a little bit, But there's a couple others that I've missed because of that very reason.
What do you got going on over there? Well, you like a priest or something?
Yes.
What the hell's going on?
Not living like one.
What the hell's going on over there?
I've got poison ivy.
Oh, man.
And so.
You was working out in the yard?
I was working in the yard.
Of course you were.
And you get, the reaction is bad. It's bad.
Never had it.
It's hard not to itch.
You know why I have never had it?
Because you don't work in the yard.
Because I ain't working in the freaking yard.
Yeah. You're a smart man. I've always said that. You're a smarter man than I am. Let's dive into some baseball.
Let's do it.
And again, follow us on all our social media channels. Ask us any questions. TikTok, Facebook, YouTube. Go ahead and join us on Twitter. All those different channels. We'd love to hear from you. The Tigers have had the week off after what was a disappointing ending to the first, if you want to call it the first half, it's really not the first half. It's the pre-All-Star break.
Right.
They start the year on a 3-game slide in Los Angeles. They end the year on a 4-game slide. First time they've been swept at home. It's their longest losing streak. What's the level of concern after Seattle outscored them 35-14, and yet Detroit still has 59 wins and an 11.5-game lead?
There's no concern for me. I mean, it's a long season, 162 games. You're just not going to be able to keep that level of play of how they were just dominating, basically.
Yeah.
For the whole season, you're gonna go through some lows. Here's what you have to be careful of. You can't ride the lows. You can't allow the lows to really like the confidence level of mm-hmm. each individual player, especially mm-hmm. from an offensive standpoint. You can't allow that to start to really become like rear its head. And now everybody starts to struggle and start to scuffle. Now it goes up to a 10 for me. I'd be worried to hell out if the offense just disappeared.
I don't think
that's going to happen.
It's always amazed me about specifically baseball, just because it is viewed literally day by day, right? You are judged as a baseball player. What have you done for me lately? And I understand that. I remind people that the Yankees and the Dodgers have both had 7-game slides.
Yeah.
Okay. The Blue Jays started slow, then won 9 of 10 eventually. Philadelphia had some ups and downs. Atlanta obviously hasn't performed. The Red Sox were really low, and then suddenly they hit the All-Star break on a 10-game roll. This is what baseball is. I think what the trust I have is more in the coaching staff to make sure the guys aren't riding those ebbs and flows like you talk about.
Yeah, and I do definitely trust Chris Fetter with this pitching staff.
Yeah.
I trust A.J. Hinch. Obviously, I feel like he plays chess while everybody else is playing checkers. Seems to be putting the guys in the right spots at the right time, pinch hitting.
Didn't against Seattle, though. I mean, the bullpen let them down. Well, starting pitching. Look, the two All-Stars let them down. Okay?
Yeah, but they're
not
pitching.
That they don't
I don't think their bullpen
breather.
Is the strength of this team anymore. Like, I thought last year it was the strength of the team. This year, I don't think so. I think that's where they're vulnerable.
Okay.
They may have to go out and get an arm.
I think they'll get a couple. I truly believe that.
Do you think they need a starter?
I do. I think they need another starter, for sure. Now keep this in mind. And I think everybody does. And you know this because we've worked a lot of playoff series and post-analysis. You don't need 5 starters in the postseason.
No.
Okay? You might convert some guys to go to the playoffs. To the bullpen.
Yeah, the so backhand guys, help. Maybe a 4-5. Right.
But if you were going to start the playoffs and you needed 3 guys in a 7-game series, you needed 3 guys, you got some days off in between.
Right.
Scooble, Mize has earned that.
I believe he
and
has.
Let's say it's Jack Flaherty because of what he's done in the past.
Right.
All right.
But do you go Mize first? Like, so you go Scooble?
Probably
Mize,
not.
Or do you go Flaherty?
I probably go Flaherty.
I'll go Flaherty.
Okay. And then you have guys like Reese Olson, who could go to the bullpen, has come out of the bullpen before.
Yeah.
That is a bullpen arm that you would add. And let's say you want to go 4 starters. Then you've got Olsen, and you can put Montero back there. There are ways to manipulate your bullpen with current guys that you have, even though I think they should go get at least a couple.
I really like Reese Olsen. I go back to last year just watching him. I thought he had the best stuff, like pure stuff on the staff.
Better than Scooble's?
Stuff-wise, Scooble's got the fastball changeup mix. He's dominant. He's overpowering. Mm. He changes speeds. But let's be honest, he throws 2 pitches at the end of the day. High fastball, changeup down at the bottom. He'll mix in a slider. He mixes in a slider. When you look at his numbers, he's heavy fastballs. And again, he's a bully. He's coming right at you. He doesn't mind moving your feet, keeping you off balance. But he's going to his changeup. This is his best pitch. Reese Olsen's got four of them. He got the slider, curveball, nasty change as well. And, of course, his fastball's in the mid-90s as well. So I just thought he had better the best stuff.
Okay.
Now, Scooble is the best pitcher, I think, right now in all of baseball. But I did like Reese Olsen. So I could see Reese Olsen being in that starting, in that rotation.
Okay, I could buy that. If there's four, I could buy that. I think because it depends on the number of innings that he throws. You know, here's a guy who has not thrown a lot of innings in any single season. The injury, you know, Mice has had an injury too, so that's all part of it. But you would agree they do need at least one bullpen arm, at least one.
I say at least one, and then I also think from an offensive standpoint, I'd like to see them go get a third baseman. And there's not a lot of guys out there. I know when Boston was scuffling, now they're on fire. Bregman's name came up. Arenado's name continued to come up. Or do you run? Do you roll with the guys that you feel like? Do you roll with the guys you got?
Yeah, I think a lot depends on the ask. Number one, but number two, I never believed that Bregman was an option. I just didn't.
No,
I didn't. I don't believe Boston would have done that unless Detroit gave him more than you would want to, and then with the option at the end of the year. I don't think it's a real smart business decision. I love Nolan Arenado as a career player. He's not the same player he once was. If it's Eugenio Suarez and 31 homers at the All-Star break.
Sign me up.
I think you're talking about something different. You're right.
No, sign me up for that right now.
I agree.
A right-handed bat with that kind of power, that kind of presence, changes everything for everybody in that lineup.
I agree.
It makes everybody better. It takes so much pressure off the other. That's Spencer Torkelson. I mean, he's going to do what he – I think Tork's going to – again, he's going to be over 30, 30-something home runs, driving close to 100. Riley's going to be – Riley's the best hitter in the lineup.
Yeah.
Up and down, period.
He's already matched his career high in homers from a year ago.
But you add a bat like that, Shep?
Yeah.
Stop it.
See, I'm a big Ryan McMahon fan from Colorado.
You do like him.
He has not hit for average this year. I mean, it's a terrible team, but it doesn't matter. It's still an individual. He has not hit for average. He does not have the power he once showed. I would worry about that. I've shifted closer to Suarez than anybody else, and a lot of it is because of that power. And I think it lengthens your lineup without question.
It definitely does. But I'm going to tell you why I'm not concerned. Going to the ballpark every day, knowing that you're losing, expecting to lose, that takes a toll on a player. And you can be the best player on that team, and it's individual stats, my ass. It's you got to want to go to the ballpark, man. You got to enjoy going to the ballpark. He's not having any fun in Colorado right now.
Right. Some people thought there was a little complacency on the part of Detroit. Maybe they were looking at the All-Star break a little bit. Just before the All-Star break, I first of all, I don't believe in that. Just before the All-Star break, Riley Green hit that home run to actually give Detroit the lead in that Sunday afternoon game and matched his career high. Javier Baez had two hits. Gleyber Torres had two hits. I don't think they were looking toward the All-Star break at all. I don't think this team actually does that at all. I think that's what makes them so good.
AJ doesn't even allow that to happen. If you really think about it, how he talks about this, he talks about this at length today. He forgets about today. How do we win today? So that mindset that's not even in that clubhouse.
I think that's a fan's perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I definitely know that that's not the Tigers' perspective.
Yeah. So they have six All-Stars. You saw them earlier in the week. It matches the most in franchise history. Had I said to you before the season began, you'd have 59 wins, okay, which ties an American League record. If you had an 11.5 game lead, that's not even close to anybody else in any other division. And granted, the division's down, but still, 11.5, you're doing what you're supposed to do. You'll have won 22 series, and your longest losing streak was four, and you got six All-Stars. Every person who's ever worn an English D on their hat, chest, socks, or whatever would have said, sign me up.
Sign me up. And there's a lot of people rocking an old English D right now, wearing it proudly, and they should be because, I think this team, the way it's put together, I call them unsung heroes because it could be a different guy every single night. Something special is brewing.
Is that a good way to go about a baseball season when anybody can, instead of having the quote-unquote superstar that some of the other teams have?
I think so. I love this team. I love the squad. I love that these guys love each other. You go in that, you talk about going to being in the clubhouse. These guys are all like best friends. They love being around each other. They love seeing each other succeed. They're rooting for each other. Man, that's a great feeling when you mix that in with some veteran players that are holding each other accountable. These young players are doing what veterans do.
Yeah,
they hold each other accountable.
I do understand some people's doubt, though, because we all want to be proven, and athletes have to earn the trust. So everybody wants to be proven for an extended period of time. You haven't seen it, for example, for an entire season by Zach McKinstry. Batted 214, 215 a year ago, so yeah. Playing really well. Haven't seen it in a full season for a Parker Meadows. Seen the power numbers for a Spencer Torkelson in a full season, but people are still a little gun shy from last year.
But I think that's who he's going to be, Shep.
I do too.
I don't think he's going to be a high average and a power and power.
Yeah.
Again, there's no perfect player.
Right.
I'm going to take his power, his production, and if he hits 240, I'm going to live with that. And he plays a solid first base. I'm going to live with that. I've got Riley Green, who's going to be close to 300, who's going to hit over 30, drive in some runs.
Right.
Everybody plays a role. Everybody's got to do their part. I go back to our season in 06 when we got a chance to go to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Myself, Marcus Timm, Brandon Inge. That was 7-8-9. Everybody was looking over Pudge. You know, they got Pudge at the top. You got Maglio. You got Carlos Guillen. Right. You got some dogs at the top. And then all of a sudden, they get to the bottom. We call ourselves catfish, the bottom feeders.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just want to try to sneak a fastball. Oh, that's a homer. We had 27. I think I had 28. Marcus had 27. Brandon Inge had 26. It takes everybody. So I think this lineup has guys that you have to respect their power. You can't just kind of groove fastballs. You got to really pitch to their weaknesses. If you add a guy like Suarez, too, that changes dynamics. Now, I think more guys will get fastball, get more pitches hit. I just don't think that you need superstar players. I think these guys are proving it because they got hot last year.
Yeah.
And it continued. In 2025.
Don't need superstars, need all-stars. All those guys are that. You would have three guys legitimately 30, and actually if Kerry Carpenter were healthy all season, it would be four guys legitimately with 30 home run capability.
Yeah, one thing about Kerry Carpenter. He's such a threat in that lineup.
Yeah.
But he gets hurt. He seemed to get like injury prone a little bit.
Yeah, there's a number of guys I think people worry about in that regard.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big believer in, oh, this guy's injury prone, because you and I were at spring training when Riley Green broke his foot and he hit a triple off Garrett Cole. And, you know, he's rounding all the way to the bases. And then you and I look and, oh, my gosh, he's leaving on a scooter. What the hell happened? So, some of those things just happen. I mean,
they're freak things. But, I mean, some guys, unfortunately, they do get labeled.
Yeah,
like I mean, that would tell you you can't make the club if you're in the tub.
That's right.
The shit's real.
Yeah,
like you got to be your best ability. Leland would tell you this all the time. Your best ability is your availability. It's something to be said about guys that can stay healthy and keep themselves in shape. Even though I know injuries are part of the game, there's some things that you can do and how you play the game. You know, you talk to a guy like Torii Hunter, and Torii would talk about banging into the wall, going back and robbing home runs. He had a way of being able to turn his body a certain way to hit the big muscle on his back and different things to stay healthy. He also figured out, you know, rounding the bases. You got a double, take the double. Some guys are trying to stretch that to a triple. And I get it looks like he's not hustling, but no, you're hustling, but you're also playing smart.
Yeah.
So you got to be on the field.
That'll be a very good conversation. Next week, we will go a live show with Lance Parrish, the 84 world champ. He will be with us at the Palladium in Birmingham, right here by Imagine Theaters. So 6 to 7 next Wednesday, July 23rd. We invite you out there with us because we're going to have an absolute blast. And you get an opportunity to take some pictures, get some autographs from Craig Monroe at Lance Parrish as well. He will be our live guest
here
at the Palladium. The Big Wheel.
I love him. He's awesome.
And his
incredible guy.
His recent book with Tom Gage was fantastic. Really was. Had some great stories in there that we will dive into next week with Lance Parrish. We've talked about the bullpen, and I think you're right about that. Is there a specific – people love to throw out names.
Right.
And I think that we don't have to say Pete Fairbanks or Emmanuel Classe or someone of that ilk. But I do believe this – Scott Harris takes note And not that he didn't recognize it already, but it becomes a little bit more of a pressing need. And knowing that you're going to have it and other teams are going to be bidding against you, it is going to be, how much am I willing to surrender for that bullpen help?
Well, I mean, they have it. They've got one of the better farm systems in all of baseball. Yeah. And so you to win, I mean, to say to win now, I know you don't want to give up the farm to win now, but they've got some pieces of the minor leagues. I mean, you don't want to get rid of a Max Clark.
Yeah, Kevin McGonigal is not going anywhere.
There are some guys that you can't get away or get rid of. But I think you have to really, you're going to have to really take a look and address that need.
Yeah.
And if I have to give up a little bit, I'm going to give it up.
So therein lies where the difference with a lot of markets, I think, stand with teams. When we talk about a small market or a medium market, you go for that and you surrender some of your farm capability, it's hard to recover for a team like Detroit because of the money. New York, teams like that, they'll go and spend more money. When they get draft picks, they don't worry about the slot. No. They worry more about the player and how quickly they can use it. Look, folks, we all realize this. Different ways to build teams. Part of the reason you have a farm system and you want to build a strong one is because of this situation. So you can use those players to get better major leaguers, not players, major leaguers to get your team a win.
Yeah, because who's to say that those minor league guys are going to be good major league players?
We don't know that.
I've seen a lot of guys in the minor league play with a lot of guys in minor leagues who are great top prospects.
Yeah.
Never played one day in the big leagues.
Right.
Give me the guy now that is getting it done right now in the big leagues. That's the guy I want.
100%.
That's just...
I'm with you on
that. I mean, I've seen this so many times and I'm just like, damn, I get it, man. He's a big star. He's got big power. It's minor leagues. It's a big difference. Massive. We get to the big leagues.
Yeah.
Give me the guy that's performing at the big leagues right now that can help my team win today.
Right.
And I'm giving that guy up.
100%. You got to give up something to get something. We were talking about All-Stars earlier. The All-Star game took place in Atlanta. Atlanta's had it four times. They've always done a really good job. I hate the home run derby.
That's strong, Shep.
I know.
What do you hate about it? Let's just start there. What do you hate about
it? It's so repetitive. I think it's too long. It's 3 hours of television.
That's longer than a baseball game now.
I know.
3 hours.
It's 3 hours.
Are you going to watch it, though? I want to know if you're going to watch it, too.
Well, you know, I did watch it only because I had to. All right? But my frustration is, first of all, if I'm going to have the best home run hitters, if you really want to cast a line and pull me in, reel me in, you got to give me the names. Seven of the top eight home run hitters in baseball were not in the home run derby. Cal Raleigh was the only one, and he leads all of baseball with an American League record, 38. He's going to break Salvador Perez's record for most homers in
a season. So are you telling me this? Are you telling me that baseball has turned into basketball for the dunk contest? Can we compare the two?
I would like to know why baseball can't recognize they need to evolve.
Right, because the dunk contest – you don't have the big name doing the dunking. Yeah.
It's boring. It's the same old stuff. It's the same old stuff. It really is.
Yeah. So the guys that are hitting in the home run derby, they're participating.
Yeah. I don't need to see Jazz Chisholm.
You don't want to see Jazz Chisholm?
I don't give a crap.
He's
about
got swag.
That. Oh, I thought this was about home run.
Well, he's got 16.
So what? Cal Raleigh's got 38. All right.
Yeah, I'm just saying. He's got some.
Eugenio Suarez has got 31. How come he's not in it?
Yeah. No, that's disappointing. Yeah. Because really, truly, you're right, though. If you want to reel me in.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about. I won't judge. I want to see Shohei.
I want to see Schwarber.
I want to see Schwarber.
Right.
I want to see Bryce Harper.
Yes.
I want to see the guys the big name guys that mash.
Give me Pete Alonso. Now,
I would take Pete Alonso, too.
That's I understand why they don't want to do it. Okay. You know, we do it over and over. But you told me before the show, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
I would take him right now.
Same here.
But you know what? You know what a lot of players will tell you, and you may not buy it, but I'm going to tell you what they talk about. It messes up their swing.
Yeah, I've seen stories with that in the past. It's legit.
It's legit.
The numbers would show you that
it messes up your swing because now instead of trying to hit line drives and hitting it through the guy, that's a goal. Gary Sheffield, by the way, he said he would hit it through the shortstop or through the left fielder when he's hitting. That's ridiculous to think. But you got it. And when you're trying to hit homers, you have a little bit more loft, so you kind of get a little bit longer in your swing. Some guys kind of give you that around instead of being more direct to the baseball. You kind of go around it. And so you can create a bad habit. You start pulling off because it's better to pull the baseball from both sides, lefty or righty, than trying to hit opposite field home runs. When you're playing every day, the goal is to stay through the big part of the field, left center, right center. Stay on it. Well, it's tough to do that in a home run derby because you're trying to hit homers.
Yeah, you're trying to win something.
And you never hit home runs trying. You guys tell you, oh, I called that shot. No, you didn't. It just, everything just happened to be right there and it just happened. You don't, I've never been to the plate and said, I'm going deep right now.
Yeah.
And then I do it. I mean, with wishful thinking, maybe it occasionally happened, but that's something that organically happens, man. You just swing, good swing. You don't even feel it when you hit it out.
I respect players who don't want to do those things. I really do. I mean, Aaron Judge is the fastest to 350. He did that over the weekend, faster than anybody else on MLB history. Maybe he just says, you know, I'm going to play in the game. That's all I'm really required to do. I don't want to do that. Just because I want to see him doesn't mean that they should do it, okay? Let me just stress that.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
You think you have a responsibility?
To the fans.
Okay.
They're paying their big money. They want to see him hit home runs. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying this is where our game is. This is what the game's about.
Yeah.
It's about the fans. And so, yeah, they want to see him hitting the home run derby. Mm-hmm. He makes the All-Star team. New York are excited. Everybody's excited about it. Yeah, I think you want to play.
Can I play devil's advocate?
You always do. I mean, they're going to surprise me.
If players don't want to do it because they feel like it messes up their swing, and he and the Yankees are trying to win a division and make the playoffs, and his swing goes in the toilet, how many fans are going, well, at least I saw him hit homers in the home run derby?
No, none. I mean, it went in the toilet. Let's be honest. It went in the toilet last year.
In the World Series, it did.
Yeah, he scuffled.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
But it didn't during the play, during the ALCS.
During the ALCS, but it did in the World Series. You couldn't find him.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah. No, that's right. But I don't
know. What happened?
But watching, and you and I like Byron Buxton.
Yes.
I think first of all, he's a really good dude.
Great dude.
Hell of an athlete. Don't view him as a home run hitter. Junior Caminero. Don't view him as a home run hitter. Jazz Chisholm, don't view him as a home run hitter. O'Neill Cruz, don't view him as a home run hitter. If you had some type of skills competition where he's going first to third,
yes
sir.
Second home.
Home run, no thank you.
He does have the highest hard hit rate in baseball right now. Exit velocity, one of the highest.
That's because he's hitting it through the right fielder. He's not hitting it over the fence. Okay. He's got 16 homers.
I'm just saying.
All right?
His ball jumps off his bat.
Matt Olson.
Well, he's just taking over for Acuna, right?
Yeah, and it's Atlanta. It's because it's in Atlanta. Cal Raleigh is obviously there, 38 homers. Then you've got Brent Rooker, who most people probably don't even know because he plays in Oakland, Sacramento, Las Vegas, whatever the hell they want to be called. And James Wood, who I think is a really good player, but 21 home runs. I mean, Riley Green's got more homers than he does. So it's just a bad field, and maybe it's a bad take on my part. I would like to see Major League Baseball evolve. I would like to see them add some things in the skills competition.
I want to see the best arms throw, like maybe two throws to third or two to home plate. But I know what they're thinking. These guys are going to get hurt. They're going to try to overthrow. We throw every single day. You're not going to hurt your arm.
Yeah, they long toss every day.
And we long toss every day, so it's not going to hurt your arm.
Let me ask you this. Could you not get hurt trying to hit homers?
Yeah, absolutely.
Rib cage, hip?
Oblique,
whatever.
Yeah. So I would love to see that. I would love to see the best arms. I'd even like to see the fastest guys from home to first. What's that time?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who's the fastest?
I'd like to see pop times. See, I'd love to see.
Oh, no.
Zach McKinstry hasn't been caught stealing. Okay, he's got 15 swipes. Not a lot, but I'd love to see the pop time of a JT Realmuto, who's not in it. But a JT Realmuto or a Cal Raleigh in this case.
How about Dingler?
Yeah, bring some of the guys who have the best pop time and give me the guys who have, if they want to do it, they can always. But you're right. Have them try to steal on these guys and see who's got the best release.
Release and pop time and accuracy.
There's different parts of baseball that Major League Baseball doesn't promote enough. How about the guys? Luis Arraez is not in it. Would you want to see him lay down some bunts? And how good of a bunter is
he's one of the best I've seen.
I'd love to see that. Or a target. Put targets out there. You got to hit it to the target and gain a score. There's so much more you can do than this. The obvious layup, no pun intended, of hitting a home run derby.
Well, now it's being making contact and just being a good hitter is kind of a thing of the past.
Right. We accept the strikeout.
We accept the strikeout. It's swing or miss or hit a homer, and that's it. And so, no, I'm with you on that. I'd like to see the smaller guys, even some of the big guys with those good approaches that could just pepper the ball wherever mm-hmm. they want
yeah.
and have a look. Like you said, have like numbers out there, however they wanted to do it. But just to be able to go, okay, I want to go to left field right now. Pow, pow. I mean, you watch him in batting practice. It's a thing of beauty when you watch. I watch guys like Maglio or Donias mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. And you would think, oh, I mean, he's going in. He's a big guy. He's just going to go mash. No, it was beautiful to watch him go right field. Right center. Miggy did the same thing. The way they took batting practice, right field.
Yeah.
Boom, shoot one through the middle. Yeah. Then that last round, then he let it whip a little bit. So
yeah.
I would like to see that because, you know, that's where the game's at. That's what we like professional hitting looks like to me.
Yeah.
Not hitting home.
I can be a little geeky, but I was listening to the MLB draft the other day. And what caught my ear was they were talking about a high school kid who throws 99 from the outfield. And 96 from the infield. And I thought, that dude's got a hose.
He's got a cannon.
Right?
For sure.
And that's, you and I have talked about this before, probably at nauseam, but I used to love watching guys like Dave Parker. Like one of the plays, think about this Major League Baseball, you need to heed our advice. One of the most famous plays is Dave Parker throwing out Brian Downing in the 1979 All-Star game.
1979?
Yeah. It was an absolute missile from right field. Downing, who was playing for what was then known as the California Angels, I'm dating myself, rounding third, he was out by a mile, right? And nobody thought it was going to happen. What would be more exciting, with all due respect, watching Jazz Chisholm hit a homer or a guy like Aaron Judge or a guy in the past like a Bo Jackson
throwing
from right field?
Jesse Barfield. Had an absolute sure. cannon from right.
Roberto Clemente. Al Kaline, Dwight Evans, the greatest arms in baseball. Not that we have that today, but give me some what is considered. We use all these analytics in baseball. If you're going to use them to the advantage of fans and let them showcase some of the other
aspects.
Show
it off. Because baseball is not just about hitting.
Right.
And it's not just about how far guys can hit the baseball. There's so many other things that you know involves in baseball like, that makes the game, makes a player a player. And when if I had told you that freaking Javier Baez is going to make the All-Star team, you'd have said, what?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Everybody's all over him anyway because he was swinging at the slider down and away. He couldn't hit miss. He's a freaking All-Star this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's a baseball player. Yeah. He does a lot of other things. He's got a lot of intangibles. He's got baseball IQ. This is the things that I wanted to see. He's got the quickest tag that I think you've ever seen.
Right.
He just has a way of playing the game differently. He made the All-Stars of the outfielder, by the way.
Yeah. He's the starting center fielder, which is crazy.
Never played center yeah. field.
In his life.
In his life.
Yeah.
He made it look like riding a bike. He made it look like it looked natural.
Yeah.
He looked like he'd been playing there for years.
Yeah, because Latin Americans, they want to be the shortstop.
Yes,
that's the
period.
Big deal. I mean, I don't know if Dave Concepcion started it or not, but that's where they believe is the most worth. It's quite an honor to be a starting shortstop.
But if you want to talk about technique of playing center field, mm-hmm. we can dive into that. Good jumps, direct path to the baseball. Understands those balls hit over your head, the three steps with your head down, and find it.
Yeah.
Knows how to get his head from one side to the other side. Like, those are outfield. Those are skills. That's something that we were taught.
Mm-hmm.
You learn that. And he can do it naturally. I mean, it blows my mind.
Yeah,
so all you guys talking about, he's swinging at the slider, he can't hit. He's a baseball player. He had surgery. He's better. Mm-hmm. It's so to your point.
That doesn't excuse the previous 3 years, but I hear what you're saying. Well, he's athletic.
Not that it excuses it. Why doesn't it excuse it though? Let's talk about that real quick.
Because guys get hurt all the time and they play through injury all the time. Okay, you've played through injury.
You had to.
3 years of poor baseball.
Poor hitting.
Poor baseball. I mean, a lot of his throws were not good, okay? A lot of his base running was not good. It's okay. The guy is living up to a big moment this year. He's been a key cog. You and I both like him. Still, the previous 3 years were not what we expected, and it sure as hell wasn't worth what he was being paid.
And that takes me to I knew that was coming. That's the point that I'm making right there. We see the big number, 120.
Yeah, 25 million a year, yeah.
Yeah. We don't sign those deals ourselves. Somebody thinks we're good enough to do it.
Oh, I agree.
Somebody gives you that.
Sure.
I mean, I would love to write my name on some numbers.
Me too. So I'd take 1 year of that. That'd be great.
So it's just like he got paid for what he did, what he's accomplished. Mm-hmm. And that's baseball. That's the structure of the game. But he's going to get ridiculed by it because he's not performing at that level.
Sure, but when you're 29, you're not just getting paid for what you did. You're getting paid for what you're about to do and what we expect you to do.
Yeah. Well, what you're capable of doing.
And he was capable of more of what he did those 3 years.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
Yeah. Totally.
I'm going to lose that argument, but I'm not.
Much more capable of it. And I like what he's doing this year. But to your point earlier, when you were talking about you and Marcus and Brandon Inge in 2006 as bottom feeders, look at where they have him hitting. He was never brought here on the principle that he was going to be the number three hole hitter.
True.
And he was going to be a leader. I think he's a good teammate. I think he's a bottom of the lineup guy. Now, that doesn't mean you're worth $25 million, but if you can get it, go get it, because everybody would.
Absolutely.
Right? Everybody would.
I just love the fact that, like, just to have him watch him and play and just having a better season, giving people, the fans, really what he wanted to give them every day. Because, you know, we were traveling on the road with his team. It wasn't a guy who worked harder. He's in the club. I mean, he's in the gym at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that he had to go through those things, but I'm so happy for him for making the All-Star team.
There are three guys who have had very good stories so far that have helped this team and been important. They didn't just make the team. They have been important. Casey Mize had to earn it. Yes. He's 9-3. Spencer Torkelson had to earn it. He's got over 20 bombs. Javier Baez had to earn it. And he's an all-star.
He's an all-star.
Those are really good stories. Now, the story sucks if they don't complete the deal and don't help this team reach its potential. But so far,
it's
been three of the best stories in all of baseball, I would argue. There's another story about baseball that is troublesome. And I don't know why MLB does this, but there's an opening from Matthew Boyd. There was an opening from Matthew Boyd on the National League All-Star roster. There are a number of players from which baseball could have chosen. Instead, they chose Jake Marowski from the Milwaukee Brewers. He has started five games. Now, he's got good numbers, 4-1 with a 2.83 ERA in those five games. But there are other deserving. Why does baseball do something like that?
You know, it blows my mind. It baffles me, to be quite honest with you. I don't know, because there was an uproar. There was a lot of players that was disgruntled. There were a lot of pissed off people about that young man.
Would you be pissed off if you were playing today?
It's
five games into his major league career.
Yeah, and it's just so hard because, you know, I'm pro player. I want to see these guys succeed. So I probably wouldn't have been pissed. But that's just
the way I would. If it was one of your teammates, you'd be pissed.
If it was one of my teammates, I'd definitely be pissed.
Did you see what Nick Castellanos had said?
No, I didn't.
It's Major League Baseball is turning into the Savannah Bananas.
Oh,
right. Trey Turner, the shortstop for Philadelphia, could have been an all-star, said, and he's still one of the better players in baseball and one of the faces of baseball.
Absolutely.
Said, it's all about headlines. It's all about social media. And they're disgusted at it. JT Realmuto was really, I mean, and it takes, JT Realmuto, he's a vet. He knows what it's like.
Yeah, he does.
He was pissed. And rightfully so. Their teammate, Christopher Sanchez, has started 12 games. He's got the fourth lowest ERA. In baseball, he was passed over. Nick Pivetta's got 9 wins. He was passed over. If you look at Robert Suarez, leads the league in saves. He was passed over. I can understand it. It's a bad look for baseball.
It definitely is a bad look, and they got to clean it up. Yeah. Let's be honest. They got to clean it up.
It's not a knock on the kid, okay?
No, absolutely not.
He's going to take it all in. He'll probably be used as maybe the last guy out of that bullpen. But you can understand, it's a fine line, right? It's a fine line between knocking a kid like Mrazowski, and at the same time crediting some of the veterans who they feel have earned it.
Yeah, because think about this. Because if we can't have it both ways, right? Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, but he was a commissioner's pick.
I know, but it's still, his numbers are not matched up to a lot of the other guys.
Especially because he hasn't been healthy.
Because he hasn't been healthy.
Right. Here's the other
thing. Was
there
an uproar?
Right. I don't think there was. But
of course not, because it's because of what he's done.
And it's because it was a commissioner's pick, I think. And this is a little different. The last thing on this is people fail to realize there are financial incentives in players' contracts.
Hell yeah, it is.
That's a big flipping deal.
Yeah.
You know? So if there's a guy like, you know, Christopher Sanchez, who's going to get a bonus of $150,000 or even as $50,000, that means something.
Absolutely. You know? And you rob him of that.
Yeah.
When you put a guy, a rookie with what, 5 stars, you said?
Yeah, 5 stars. Yeah, That's it. 4-1.
You just can't do that.
Yeah, not cool at all. Every week we do this podcast, Catching Up with Simo and Shep, we appreciate the support of Imagine Theaters. We'd like to dive into a movie question. Today's movie question, the best sequel in your lifetime.
Well, I don't know if it's the best, but I oh, man. I didn't even want to tell you guys about this. Oh, man. There's Toy Stories.
There's no wrong answer, bud.
I know, but you got the Toy Stories. I get it. And you've got Final Destination.
Never heard of it.
No. Mm-mm. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I'm going to say that. You guys ever watched Twilight? No?
You hear that in the background? Oh, it's crickets.
Twilight. Like Twilight.
I don't even know. We're not talking about the Twilight Zone, back in the day, right? Black and white TV. No. We're talking about a movie called Twilight.
This is a beautiful love story. That's what it is. And it just continues. I'm
going to
stop there. Yeah, I'm going to leave it right there. How about you? Don't give me that face now. Come on now. Listen.
You know I love you like a brother.
I know, but.
Seriously, man. Right now I'd be asking for your man card.
Hey. Here's the deal. It's a beautiful show. It's beautiful. It is. Love is beautiful.
How many are there?
I'll be honest with you. I really don't know. I've watched every one of them, though, and I've liked it all.
Holy crap. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So for me... Huh?
No, go ahead. What? Tell me about you. That's enough of me.
All right. So for me, my kids are all... They know I'm very predictable.
Okay.
Okay. If there's a movie, if we're looking for a movie... It's usually in a certain genre, so I get it. So, you know, the spaghetti westerns of Clint Eastwood, I'm going right to that for sure, okay? Because he and Mel Gibson are my favorite actors. Clint Eastwood is a legend, one of the greatest of all time. Bourne movies for me, Jason Bourne movies.
I like those.
I don't think there was a bad one out there. I hope they're done because I'm not sure how much there is, but I think it's fantastic. The other one, there's three of them.
Uh-oh.
And it's with one of my favorite actors, The Equalizer. 1, 2, and 3 with Denzel Washington.
That's a good one. Well, I'm going to try to get my man
none of
back.
Them were bad.
How about Creed? Have you seen Creed, the boxing?
I saw the first one. That was enough for me.
Really?
It just follows Rocky. That's all it does.
No.
And Rocky's a good sequel, but it went too far. Okay?
I liked all the Rockies, too.
You liked all of them?
I did.
Even the last one?
Every one of them.
I just, there's only so much I can do. How about... First Blood, Rambo. First Blood, you know, those aren't bad either, okay?
Yeah.
Now, our producer, Sean, said there's no question. It's pretty obvious. Sean, who did you have? What did you have again?
What'd you have?
I had The Godfather.
The Godfather.
Yeah. And Godfather Part 2 is pretty...
You can make the argument Godfather 2 is better than Godfather 1.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what makes a great sequel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. Godfather 3 sucked.
Here's the problem.
Yeah. And that's why I almost discount it. I think he's right about Godfather 1 and 2. If that
was 3
it,
was just...
Three was not good. No. Not good at all. And that's why I kind of side with The Equalizer and The Bourne.
The Bourne's are a good. They're good.
Yeah.
They really are.
But you've seen Equalizer, right?
I have seen Equalizer.
Did you see Equalizer 2?
No. I haven't only watched the first one.
So you liked it, though?
Yeah, it was good.
So it's a good question. If somebody likes the first one,
mm-hmm. you would think I'd watch
Why wouldn't you watch the second?
I mean, watching other things.
Twilight. Yeah. It's the question. It's the question I asked somebody. We come full circle now.
Yeah.
Somebody at the wedding I was at Saturday. They said, "Boy, they serve steak and salmon, so it's a surf and turf. Right? I don't eat salmon, so I gave my wife salmon. She doesn't eat red meat. She gave me the steak. I had two fillets." A woman at the table said, "Boy, I don't like salmon, but this is really good." So I stopped and I said, What makes you try it when you don't like it already? She goes, you know, our taste buds change, so I'm willing to try it. And I thought, I need to do the same thing.
You should.
I can't say I'm going to go so far as to watch Twilight, but I'm going to try and get a softer side in that regard.
You need a softer side. Is that okay? Side.
All yes. right. All right. We'll see if that softer side comes out next week when we visit with the 1984 champ, Lance Parrish. You could argue that he should get votes for the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
I'm not saying he is, but you could, considering the number of homers he's hit, silver sluggers, all-stars, and gold gloves, he was one of the best catchers of his generation. We hear it all the time when it comes to Hall of Famers. You have to be at least considered among the best of your generation. You could say he was.
He definitely was. I mean, he could do it all.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched a lot of clips because, I mean, obviously in 84, they were winning the World Series. And I was, you know, obviously a young man. Yeah. Didn't get to watch him as much, but I've seen a lot of videos, talked to a lot of people that watched him. They were in awe of the way he played the game. Yeah. Played hard. He was like the enforcer.
He's a badass.
He really is a badass. You look at him now, he still looks good. He's freaking jacked.
Yeah, you didn't mess with him. I used to say it as a kid all the time. One of the things I loved about 84, you're not fighting Larry Herndon, Kirk Gibson, Lance Parrish, Darrell Evans. They're too big. They're too strong. Yeah. It's not happening.
Not happening.
Those guys would kick anybody.
We would call Gibby that. Gibby, you know, when Tram took over, he was a manager, right, in 03. Yeah. And freaking Gibby, bro. You right. He little red ass. Oh. He get all up in your face, headbutt you and shit. He was crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we call, you know, Tram, you know how Tram is. Mm-hmm. Tram laid back, you know, well, we'll get it done, you know. Not Gibby. Gibby's on your face, in your face, yeah, freaking yelling at you, ready to go after you right now.
One of my favorite stories about Kirk Gibson is when he was the manager in Arizona, he literally went out. He wanted one of his pitchers to throw inside, and his pitcher would not throw inside. He said, in his bullpen session, he says, I'm going to give you the opportunity that nobody else has ever got. I'm going to give you the chance to throw a fastball into the rib cage of your manager. Oof. So I'm going to stand in there. I want you to hit me. Please hit me. All right. This is not a Seinfeld episode with Kramer saying, hit me, Mickey, hit me. Okay. After getting kicked out of the Yankees camp, he says, hit me. Pitcher wouldn't do it. Would not do it. I'm not going to say who the pitcher is, but yeah. Gibby was pleading with them
and he wouldn't
over and over and over again. And he wouldn't do it. Trying to teach guys certain things doesn't always, I mean, there's different ways to do it.
Different ways to do it, but damn, that's ballsy.
Yeah, it is. It's really ballsy.
But that's Gibby, though.
Yeah.
I wouldn't surprise.
Doesn't surprise us. We'll have plenty of those kinds of stories from Lance Parrish next week. Hope you can join us live at the Palladium in Birmingham, brought to you by Imagine Theaters. We will be there 6 o'clock till 7 o'clock. Join us. Simo, I'm Shep. Thanks for joining us on another edition of Catching Up with Simo and Shep, and follow us on all our social media channels. We'll see you next week in person at the Palladium.